pray today that you would cleanse my mind and my heart to anything hurtful. Lord, I'm sorry. Anything like sin, remove it. But Lord, touch me fresh of thy Holy Spirit. May your word speak to us this morning. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for all the songs. And thank you for everyone that has sang this morning in the pew, or especially in the special, Lord. Thank you for that. But now, Lord, use your word to minister to us this morning. We need you today. And I'm going to thank you and praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, and amen. Luke, if you would, turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 is where we'll be reading. Before I forget, we'll have baptizing next Sunday. We have several to baptize next Sunday, so we're looking forward to that. So prepare yourself for that. Listen, for the past several weeks especially, now, not necessarily because of my situation, although it has made me think about some things, our church has been experiencing a lot of trials here lately, a lot of heartache. Now, it's not just been here in the last few months. If we go back and we look in the last couple of years, the last few years, we've experienced some things that we never expected. And I can't get Doug Hawley's message out of my mind, nor Dennis Legg's either last Sunday. If you not listen to them, go back and listen to that on live stream. It will help you if you'll listen to them. And I want to maybe continue even on the same path of Brother Doug last Sunday afternoon. But we've been going through some things. There's been health issues that we've all been facing, or a lot of people have been facing. Tests, scares, cancers, new cancers, strokes, heart attacks, death. There's been things in the last couple, 3 years that we faced. Injuries, broken bodies, broken limbs, broken backs, crippling things, mind problems where minds have vanished, that were once vibrant and sharp. Now watch them fade away. These things that happen to us, and we wonder sometimes why. I don't know, maybe we ain't supposed to, I know, but we'll always question why. We'll question, is it my sin that's caused it? Is it chastisement that's caused it? What have I done? What do I need to do? A lot of time we'll search our life to see if there's something wrong. And that should be always every day that we ought to look at ourselves and see if there's anything wrong. That ought to be always a self-examination of ourselves anyway. But just because bad things happen don't mean that you're living a hard life. Just because of that. Now, does chastisement come? Yes. Is it grievous? Yes. Does it hurt? Yes. Should it straighten us up? Yes. Does it always? No. All right. Sometimes you got to get beat several times before you understand. Sometimes you got to get burnt a time or two before you realize it's really hot. The stove's really hot. You know, usually you're supposed to learn once, but that's chastisement. But can I tell you, if you're chastised, you already know it. You already know you're out of the will of God. If chastisement comes, you're aware of it, and you accept it or reject it and get worse. But a lot of times you wonder, why is this going on? And we've seen it. We've seen trials. We've seen burdens. We've seen sickness. We've seen suffering. Seemed like everybody's going through something. Everybody going through something.
Right, yeah.
And it may not be major to me what you're going through, but it'll be major to you.
Yeah.
All right? Yeah. It may be my strength, and I'm not paying as much attention to yours, but it may be your weakness, and it's affecting you different. Everybody understand that? Yeah. So we go through things. All right? We just go through stuff. And sometimes it shakes our very foundation. We have people that miss church. We have people that quit church. We have people that change churches. We have people that's looking for something different. They're not looking for the help from the Lord. These are things that happen. We get weak. We get discouraged. Some are strong. Some are learning and they're gaining their strength. But then maybe the one beside them are losing some strength. I mean, that's just the way it is. There's a lot of people God helped Sunday, this past Sunday, but then I'm sure there were some that didn't take the help. Yeah. Can I tell you that there's help all the time like that? There's help offered all the time, but we don't always take it. Have you ever had a headache and somebody said, well, get you a Tylenol? Nah, I don't want to take one right now. Did we ever do that? You just want to tough it out. All right? Well, that's okay. That's admirable, but you'll probably hurt a while because you don't take the medicine. All right? Best thing to do if you get a headache, take something. Huh? That way you don't have to suffer and make everybody else suffer around you when you whine and cry because you got a headache. All right? But we need to take our medicine this morning. So let's look at some things. And I want to help us this morning because of some things that's going through. If I preach at all, I have to preach this. I can't preach nothing else. This is what the Lord has given me this morning for us. And there's some things that's necessary. Now, our church groans from time to time. We've had our heyday. We've had our growth, and a church never grows like this. A church always grows like this. All right, but it never just grows straight. It always grows. It still moves up, but there's dips, and there's lulls, and there's levels, and there's things that we face. And all of that is still the plan of God. If you're saved this morning, I want you to listen carefully. If you're not saved, I want you to understand that you're lost. You need Christ. He died for you, and you're a sinner, and you need to be saved. And I can't do much other than tell you that you need to be born again. But this morning we're going to preach to the saved, all right? So Luke chapter 22, and we're going to start at verse 39, and we'll read, and then we'll preach for just a little bit here. It says, this is speaking of Jesus now, Luke 22, 39. It says, and he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed. Now we're speaking of Jesus right here. And he was withdrawn from them, the rest of the disciples. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Let me give you a quick thing. Most Christians know this passage of scripture. Christ is in the Garden of Gethsemane. But when we look at verse 39, it says, and when he came out and went as he went, we know he just come through. They just had the upper room experience with Christ. They've had the Last Supper. He's washed their feet. He has showed great humility. They had great fellowship. Then they had great humility, and then they had great teaching. If you go back and read, had great teaching from the upper room to the garden, and that's a lot where John 14 and 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 was taught. This is the scripture. He's teaching them as they walk. So they're learning, they're fellowshipping. He showed them humility as he washed their feet. To think that God would wash a dirty man's feet is amazing, but it ain't no more amazing than a God washing a dirty sinner's heart, I reckon. But nevertheless, that's where we're at. Everybody still with me? He encouraged him, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. He's encouraging him along the way. And then he comes here to the garden. He gets to where he was wanting to go. It says that when he was at the place, there's a place. There's a place that we're all going to find ourselves coming to. There's a place we're going to find ourselves coming to in our life where everything changes. Where everything changes. Now, it don't always change to what we think it's going to be, and we're not always willing to accept the change. All right? Now, there's some things I've come to just in my own life. And I've had to accept, and can I tell you, it's hard. When I had the stroke in 2019, then my body's never been the same. I've had to accept some things. And every stroke that I've had since, and the heart attacks that I've had since, it has rendered me weaker in areas. I don't have the wind. I don't have though my voice. I can tell when I get a little tired, my voice is not as strong as it used to be. I used to be able to. I could crack a glass on the backside of the church, but now I don't know that I could blow the a paper off the pulpit at some time. But it changes, and I can I tell you, I don't like them changes. I'm used to picking up and going to something. I never did. Not bragging, but I never did 250 pounds. I never thought nothing of carrying that. But no big deal. Just pick it up and go with it. You know, it's whatever somebody wanted. I've been throwing an engine up in the back of a truck, throw a transmission up in the back of the truck, just go on, just work. You know, now it's hard to get out of bed sometimes. Maybe it's hard to get out of a chair. You know, maybe it's hard to go. So there's always a place that we're going to come to. This is a place that everybody's going to face. Can I tell you, Jesus come to a place, and it was the Garden of Gethsemane, and it was not what everybody was going to expect it by. Yeah. Right. So we still okay? Yeah. So now look here. It says in verse 40, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, you know, the Lord always prepares us if we'll pay attention. If we'll pay attention, he'll give us a message, he'll give us a scripture, he'll give us a song, he'll give us a poem, he'll give us somebody, an example somewhere, he'll help us. But we gotta pay attention. Alright? He told him in verse 40, pray that you enter not into temptation. He gave him the warning. He's getting ready to go through the most cruelest thing he'll ever go through, and he stops and gives them a warning. We need to pray lest we fall in temptation. We need to pray. There's some things that's going to come our way that we need to be prepared for, that we need to pray lest we fall into temptation. Is everybody still with me? So we're just looking at your scripture. Now look at verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed. Can I go ahead and tell you that sometimes when you go through something, you're going to go through it and it's going to be you. It's going to be you. Now, there may be other people affected, but the main character is going to be you. You're going to have to deal with some things. Everybody still with me? You're going to have to deal with it. All right? So, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Now, we understand what that was. Do we not? When he said, let this cup pass me. Now, there wasn't a cup sitting there. He wasn't pulled up to a table and there was a cup sitting there. He was talking about the bitter cup, the whole cup of the world, and everything that was fixing to transpire in his life. Now I want you to think about this. The suffering that was in that cup was going to be like no man had ever suffered. It was going to start there. It was going to start in the Garden of Gethsemane. It didn't start at the cross or start at the scourging pole. It started when He became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteous of God in Him. Now think about this. This is new to Him. Everything He's getting ready to experience is new to Him. This is God in the flesh. He was 100% God. But He was 100% man. And He was going to suffer. He was going to suffer. And He did suffer. The pain, the anguish, the load, the pressure. Huh? And these are things we face. That's why He faced them. We face loads and pressure. Loads that we can't carry. Pressure from everything without. From everybody. From everything. Huh? Pressure. Did He deserve any of it? Well, He was God. He didn't deserve it, but He took it upon Himself for us. Okay? Can I tell you, sometimes what we go through is not for us. It's for others. We know that. We've been taught that and preached to that. Sometimes it's only for someone else. But yet, we go through it alone. Even though somebody may be watching, somebody may be gaining, somebody may be getting help, but everybody still with me? So, there's something here. I say all that to come to one word. Verse 42. Saying, Father, if Thou be willing. If Thou be willing. Now, I want you to listen to what Jesus is saying here. Jesus came to suffer, bleed, and die. That's why He came. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came. His only purpose to come was to die for grace. Before the foundation of the world was laid, the Lamb was slain. He came to die. Amen. To suffer, bleed, and die. That's why He came. And He said, if it be possible, if it be possible, would you let this cup pass from me? All right? But I want you to look at this is what we're going to try to preach this morning if we can, is nevertheless not my will, but Thine be done. Nevertheless, in spite of all this, that's what nevertheless means, in spite of, huh? Regardless, what it don't matter, this is the way it is, okay, but nevertheless, it's not my will. But it's your will. Your will. A choice. I want you to understand here, He made a choice. Could he have backed out? He was God. He could do what He wanted to do. I was going to tell you, He was sovereign. He's sovereign today. He was sovereign then. And God could have just went ahead and said, no, let's forget, let's kill the whole outfit and we'll just start all over. He could have. That was His privilege. But He said, no, nevertheless. Nevertheless, it's not my will, but it's Thy will be done. It's not what I want, but it's what You want from me. Turn over to Hebrews, if you would. Turn over to Hebrews, chapter 5. Hebrews, chapter 5. Does everybody understand me so far this morning? Hebrews chapter 5. Let's start reading in verse 5. It says, so also Christ glorified not Himself to be made an high priest, but He that said unto Him, Thou art my Son, today have I begotten thee. And He saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the Lord of Melchizedek. Look at verse 7. Who in the days of His flesh... Remember that He's God. But He put on a robe of flesh. He's God. 100% God. But he put on a robe of flesh. And it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. We're talking about the garden there in verse 7. We're talking about where we just read in Luke 22. That's where we're reading that in Hebrews here now. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard and that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. By the things which he suffered. Nevertheless, sometimes there's some things we got to suffer that we might learn obedience. That we might become submissive to the will of God. He was God. Everybody with me? But he put on a robe of flesh that he might show us an example and that he might suffer what we suffer. He took my sin. He became sin for me. The Bible teaches that. He walked in the flesh that he might suffer like we suffer in the flesh. He suffered hunger. He suffered loneliness. He suffered betrayal. He suffered denial. He suffered being lied upon. He suffered being ridiculed. He suffered being spit upon. He suffered being unjustly judged. Anything and everything that we would go through. He suffered pain. He, by his stripes, we are healed, even with ours. Everything that he done was for us. Is that not true? Yeah. Then why is not the garden true? If what he done on the cross was true, what he done in life was true. He taught us how to live. He taught us how to love our enemies, did he not? He taught us how we're to cope with things. He told us our priorities. He told us how to pray. He taught us everything. And now he's teaching us how to suffer. He's teaching us how to suffer that we might be in the will of the Father. He's teaching us how to be submissive. Can I tell you, the one thing that we all need to learn is to be submissive to the Lord. Nevertheless, you can title it nevertheless, or you can title it being submissive to the Lord. But we need to learn to be submissive to the Lord this morning. And can I tell you, to do that, sometimes it's going to take suffering. It's going to take some heartaches. Because we got a problem, and it's us. Huh? Why don't we just go ahead and repeat with me? I'm my problem. Can we say it together? Everybody say it together. I'm my problem. Can I say it? The Lord ain't the problem. The Lord ain't the problem. I'm my problem. And I have a problem not doing what I want to do. I am hard-headed. Cheryl, you listening? Amen, me there sitting in the recliner. But so are you.
Right.
You may not admit it, but you are. And you do what you want to do when you want to do it, how you want to do it. It suits you. And then you are very spiritual and you go along with other people, but you're really doing it the way you want to do it. Huh? Right? You know, now I didn't see nobody do this, but I bet it happened. You know, we had homecoming last Sunday. You know, some people don't like to stand in line. You know, it's beneath them, I reckon. I bet you some broke line somewhere. I bet you some went on through. Because I told everybody, I said, make sure that Stanton and Linda and Brother Dennis go first. And they was way back in the line. That was my first request. I said, everybody go through. Just make sure they go through. And they must have been 30 people in front of them. You know why? Because you're going to do what you want to do when you want to do it. You know? What it is, there's no submissive to authority. We're going to tell you that. There's no submissive to authority. There's no yielding. Huh? We okay? So sometimes we got to suffer for the Lord to get our attention. Sometimes it's not even suffering because we won't submit. He's trying to teach us to submit because He's conforming us. And we can't be conformed in His image without suffering. Can I tell you, you can't be, me and Rick was up seeing Brother Butch and Linda the other day, and when we was up there, I couldn't help, how many times have you heard Brother Butch pray before he said amen, and Lord, make us more, and Father, make us more like Jesus. I've heard him pray that for years. And I went up there and I watched Linda laying there in a recliner suffering with cancer. I seen Butch, he can't hardly get around. He can't breathe. He can't hardly get around with his cane, getting ready to have surgery. I watched him and he still prays. And Lord, make me more like Jesus. And I said, wait a minute. Then, but he is. He is. From the things that he suffers. From the things he's going through, because himself is dying out. Huh? Can I tell you one about Daryl? Daryl's up here. Daryl, where y'all realize, right? You see Daryl come to church. He ain't been able to come here for a few weeks, but you know, Daryl come to church and Daryl come in so much pain. I've watched Kim Ayers do the same thing for years, and Daryl come in so much pain, and he didn't feel like being here, but he had to be here. The other day in the hospital, he's up there, and they brought some student nurses in. I'm not going to steal his thunder or nothing, but I'll tell you what happened. He was up there in a hospital, and he's hurting bad. They can't get his pain. I mean, he's sick. He's nausea, throwing up because of his pain is so bad in his head. All right? And the student nurses come in, and they visited with him there. And when they left, you know, they always, you know, how they teach and all that. They said, can we stay and ask them questions? And they said, sure. Mooney and Daryl said, sure. And they stayed. Ended up staying about 3 hours in his room, Mooney said. Instead, they asked him, said, we wonder, how are you coping with all this cancer keep recurring and everything? How are you coping with all this? And Daryl and all this pain and everything going on, they said, well, let me just tell you how I'm coping with it. He said, I've given all to the Lord. And he witnessed all of them. And Mooney said, the tears run down his face as he was laying there in the bed, trying to brag it on the Lord, bragging on his goodness and his grace, laying there suffering, and all the while being conformed to the image of a loving Savior that they see, Jesus. Can I tell you, there's some things going on in your life and my life both that we need just to go ahead and submit our will and let Him use. Whether it be suffering, whether it be pain, whether it be sickness, whether it be death, whether it be disease, that God might use us to bring us glory. No, to bring Him glory. Amen. For that's what about. Nevertheless, if my Savior has to say, nevertheless, if my Savior has to say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, then who am I to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to? Who am I to say I want my way? Who am I to say to God, you do this, you do that, if my Savior has to say, nevertheless, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And we suffer. And if we suffer pain, if we suffer heartache, if we suffer a sorrow, can I say we're suffering? My Savior did. My Savior did. Why? He done that the Father might receive glory. Huh? He said, I do always the things that please my Father. Always, I always do what pleases Him. And now He says, not my will, but thy will be done. It's a choice. Can I tell you it's a choice? He said, if it be possible, take this cup from me. But nevertheless, it's a choice. You're going to have to choose to submit. Now, listen, there's difference in submitting and subjection. He don't subject us. Now, I know Paul said that we keep our bodies in subjection. That's by force. Subjection is by force. Submission is not. Submission is voluntary. Submission, can I tell you what submission means? Y'all okay? Y'all okay? The act of submitting. It's an act. It's an action word. Submission, submitting is an action word. Submitting. The act of submitting. The act of yielding. Yielding. Not just a right of way, but yielding power and authority. Submission is me giving the authority of me that I know I'm not allowed to do no more. I don't have that authority no more. When I submit, I don't have that authority. We okay? I'm trying to help us this morning. The act of yielding to power and authority. Surrender of the person and power to the control of another. That's what submission is. Surrendering. The surrendering. You ever surrender? When you say, I give up. I'm giving it to you. When they surrendered in the wars, they brought their sword. The commanding general that was surrendering brought his sword to the other commander and gave his sword to that commander and said, I surrender. That means I ain't fighting you no more. I'm not fighting you no more. Here's my sword. Here's my sword. Submission. I'm in your hands. Now you do with me what you will. You do with me what you will. And the other commander could have done anything he wanted because they was full surrender. You read through the Bible when they surrendered. Sometimes it didn't matter. They just killed them. Sometimes they cut their thumbs off and they cut their big toes off. They cut their thumbs off so they couldn't hold a sword. And they cut their big toes off so they couldn't run the battle. Because you can't walk. You lose your big toes, you can't walk. You ain't got no balance. You're balanced in your feet, your big toes. Huh? No more fighting. No more fighting. Maybe he needs to cut our thumbs off. Cut our toes off. So we can't no longer battle against him. Submission. Sufferings. Suffering. The Bible says that I may know him. What did Paul say? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings be made conformable to his death. That's what he said. But we forget about what he said to start with in chapter 3 of Philippians. He gave up who he was. Huh? Can we read that? Let's go back and read Philippians 3. Is everybody still with me? I'm wanting to help us this morning. I hope it's helping you. Submission is what we're after. And I want you to understand, sometimes the church and sometimes the things that we go through are, if it's used to make us or cause us or let us submit to him to be made conformable to his image. Look in Philippians 3. Can we read here just a minute? Everybody okay? Let's look at verse 4. It says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. Boy, don't we? Let's say it again. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. Don't we? Yes. We have confidence in our flesh. I can do it. I'm able, I do it. I don't need your help, I can do it. You know, y'all know I meet up with pride. I die for I ask for help. Right? I'm proud of it. Ain't that stupid? I mean, that's really stupid. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, If any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I'm more. You think you know something? Look at me. That's what Paul said. You ain't got nothing. Huh? Let's look here. Verse 5. Jeremiah is the eighth day, stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Hebrew of the Hebrew. That's touching law, Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteous which is in the law, blameless. That's me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at verse 7. What things were gained to me, those I count are lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom what? I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteous which is of God by faith. He couldn't say that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings in verse 10 until he said, I count it all dung. Yeah. There had to be some submission. I had to lose it all. I had to lose it all. I heard old Hovey Lister sing a song one time. He said, I lost it all to find everything.
Yeah.
Huh? And that's how it is. We got to lose it all. We got to be willing to lose it all. We're not submissive to take the things that come upon us. We get mad when we get sick. We get mad when our loved ones get sick. We get mad when our loved ones die. We get mad when a tragedy comes. But God's not doing that to hurt us, and God's not doing that to make us mad. Where he's bringing things in our life that will change our life to where we must trust him. The only thing that matters, they sung it, the only thing that matters is Christ.
Amen.
And that's trusting him. And, y'all, I've had pride issues all my life and been proud of it. Right? But look, look what he's chopping me down. He's chopping me down for the first time in my life. I hired something to be done at my house. For the first time in my life, I stood back and had to watch others do. For the first time in my life, I had to say, I'm sorry, I can't. I can't. Did it hurt me? It hurt my pride. Did it hurt me? No, it helped me. It ate my pride to pieces. Huh? I mean, I had drivers to take me to revival. Until this past Thursday, I hadn't drove. Do you know what it's like not to drive? Huh? Some of you have. Huh? The hardest thing in the world. Well, I'm used to going. I'm used to doing. If I need to run to the store, go to the store. I need to go see someone. Now I gotta. I reckon we'll have to call Rick. We'll have to go here. We'll have to go there. I'm gonna have to. Am I suffering? Well, yes, but it's helping me. It's helping me. Nevertheless, it's not my will, but thy will be done. If he's going to chop me down, y'all got to prop me up behind this pulpit. He's got to chop me down to where I stand, or you wheel me in, or whatever. If I've got to preach from a hospital, it don't matter if I'm conformed to his image. Let me give you a couple real quick here. And we'll, all right? Submission is trust, is it not? If I submit to him, he said, nevertheless, if this cup pass for me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He said, well, I'll just trust you. You're going to do it, Father. We will do what needs to be done. We okay? All right. How about submission? Not just trust. How about submission is faith? Do you know that when I submit to someone, submission is I've got to trust them, that I've got to believe in their ability. We okay? I've got to believe in their ability. Because it's my ability means nothing no more. That's submission. So when it comes to the Lord, then it ain't me. It's the Lord. Huh? I went and preached revival, you know, the other day and the other week and right after I got out of the hospital and Cheryl said, "How are you gonna preach? You can't even stand there." I said, "There has to be dependence upon the Word of God then. It's not upon my volume or it's not upon my antics if I have any or not upon my moving. Huh? But it's on the word of power of the Word of God. Huh? I've not moved very little this morning. Huh? It's not because I can't. I'm just not trusting myself. Okay? Because I don't want to fall on my head, that's for sure. I got enough head problems. Right? So we got to rely on what the Word of God says. Well, can I tell you, if it's always been me and not what the Word of God says, then maybe that's why we're going through something. Are we okay this morning?
Yeah.
So let's look at the Word of God here. How about submission is trust and submission is faith? Hey, submission is even service. Do you know that? Can we look right away quick? Look at Luke chapter 5. Let me give you one real quick. I'm going to quit. Luke chapter 5. Here's a good passage for service, huh? Let's look at verse 1. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he answered into one of the ships, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. He sat down, taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." What's the next word?
Nevertheless,
at thy word, I will let down the net. Simon submitted to the Lord. "I have failed all night. I can't. But let's see if you can." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. But not until he said, "I submit." Nevertheless, can't do it. I can't do it. Hear me tonight or today. Things come upon us. And there's going to be suffering. There's going to be some sicknesses. Let me tell you, we're not done yet. I don't know what's going to take place with Daryl. Daryl's fought cancer for 14 years. I don't know. I don't know what's going to take place with Abby. It's a curable cancer. And the percentage is way high. I don't know the outcome. I don't know what's going to happen with Vanessa. I don't know what's going to happen with Cindy. Huh? Les Perry has cancer, but he has Parkinson's. He has dementia. He's 89 years old. I mean, sooner or later, we're going to leave. You know? I don't know. Some of y'all is going to have heart attacks in the future. Some of y'all is going to have a stroke. I can have either at any time. Yeah. I'm not planning on getting on no roof. I ain't that this year for sure. All right? But I'm apt to fall anytime. Right? Huh? If I thought I got a concussion from that house, if I mean Mal Cheryl, I might get that skillet upside the head. Talking about a concussion. Huh? I mean, we don't know. We don't know the future. Will you be here next Sunday? Will you pass tonight? Huh? The other Sunday, Libby was at church, not feeling well. She had a heart attack on Monday.
Right.
We don't know. See, we don't know. We don't know. I see Bub said, Bud, I know you're in a hard place. I know you are. I know. But he's just making us more like him. Huh? That's all he's doing. See, we got to be willing to submit. Is everybody okay with me this morning? Why? Why do I have? Give me just another minute or two, would you? I know y'all's hungry, but listen to me. Listen to me. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Can I tell you why we got to go through some things? We still okay? Talk to me this morning if we're okay. Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at this one little verse. Verse 17. Galatians chapter 5 verse 7 says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Can I tell you, sometimes this flesh has got to be worked on.
Yeah. Amen. You're right.
This flesh has got to be worked on. And sometimes the only way he can do it is to stop us long enough to work on it.
Yeah.
We okay? Sometimes you've got to slow us down.
You're right.
And work on us. And sometimes that's got to be sitting by the bedside of another. Sometimes that's got to be going down to the funeral home and making some arrangements. Sometimes it might be sitting waiting for a test ourself. Or waiting for a result ourself. Sometimes it might be waiting for a child to come home. Sometimes it might be, are you hearing me this morning? Somewhere this old flesh has got to give in. And this flesh has got to submit. And sometimes it costs us. Huh? But see, there's I mentioned this here a couple weeks ago. The clay on the potter's wheel. You know the clay is submissive. You know the clay yields itself to the potter. The clay has no mind of its own. The clay is just clay. But without the potter's hand, there's nothing made. It's got to be spinned. It's got to add water. It's got to be baked. It's got to be formed. But not by itself. There's pressing and spinning and tearing and before it's made. Grain, as we mentioned here, we told you a while back, grain is wonderful that makes bread, but it's not ever bread until it's ground. It's not ever bread until it's mixed and stirred. It's not ever bread until it's baked in the oven. It's then it comes out. But it's not the grain itself has to be mashed. But it yields itself to the stone. The grain don't jump out and say, I ain't going to be ground. The grain has no mind of its own. The grain submits itself to the stone. Huh? The olive, we all use olive oil. You know, that's the healthy stuff. But the olive is no good on the tree. The olive is nothing at all on the tree. Put it in the bucket. It still ain't nothing. Put in a basket, carry it around, and all of it's nothing. Because put in a press. And when it's put in a press and squeezed, and the pressure on it squeezes out the oil, then the olive is useful. But not until then. But the olive never says, I'm not getting in a basket. It's chosen, it's picked, it's placed. The grain is cut and wheat's cut and grain is separated and placed on the wheel. It's all the clay is dug, and all of that's working of somebody. Can I tell you, there's somebody bigger than we are that's working all this. And we just yield ourselves to it. But it's all for submission. It's all for submission. Now I'll give you this and we'll go home. Trish, you get ready to go to piano. Clark, how about just as I am this morning? Can we turn to Romans? Can we turn to Romans chapter 8? We okay? Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be paired with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. Boy, is that not true? Think about that. For the creature, that's us, was made subject to vanity. Vain, vanity, all vexatious spirit. It's nothing. Everybody understand that? Us. Not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? For if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray. We don't know how to pray when there's things going through us, when we're groaning and when we're hurting and when we're wanting to leave and we don't understand everything. We don't know how to pray.
You're right.
Said, but if we know, but we pray as He ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the what? The will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that are loved, to love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Look at verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. He's before determined that He's going to make us like Him. And however He has to do it, He'll do it. Are you hearing me? To be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Can I tell you this morning, it's nevertheless not my will, but Thy will be done. We gotta learn to be submissive. I'm going to ask you this morning, I don't know what God may have spoke to your heart through this. I hope it helped you a little bit. If you need to come this morning, lay her on the altar. God, I give it all to You. I'm not fighting You no more. I'm done fighting. I want to be conformed to Your image. If it means, I'm going to yield to You. If it means sickness, then make me sick. If it means suffering, then bring it on. I'll take it. It's not my will no more. It's not what I want. I'm not going to buck You. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm going to trust You. I've trusted You as my Savior. Surely I can trust You with my life. If it's sorrow, if it's heartache, if it's disappointment, it's temporary. If it's broken body, broken heart, broken mind, then I submit to You. If my Savior will come to a place that He's never come before and have to say, not my will, but Thy will be done, then somewhere we're going to have to come to the same place. Not my will. I'm yours. I'm yours. Father, thank you for a blessed book, a blessed word, a blessed example. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name.